Don't touch that dial. Stay a while and listen to the great things that God is doing in the world today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. And here's your host, Jim Rohn.
Did you know that many of the scientists that founded many of the disciplines in science and in math were God-fearing men who read the Bible, believed in creation, that God created the world? And these great scientists went on to develop some of the disciplines, most necessary disciplines in the study of science. On this broadcast, we feature the late Dr. D. James Kennedy in one of his great messages that I think everyone should hear. From Coral Ridge Ministries, here is Dr. Kennedy.
Scientists, these are the men who founded the following branches of science: antiseptic surgery, Joseph Lister; bacteriology, Louis Pasteur; calculus, Isaac Newton; celestial mechanics, Johann Kepler; chemistry, Robert Boyle; comparative anatomy, Georges Cuvier; computer science, Charles Babbage. All of these men were believers in the Bible and believers in creation. Dimensional analysis, Lord Rayleigh; dynamics, Isaac Newton; electronics, John Ambrose Fleming; electrodynamics, James Clerk Maxwell; electromagnetics, Michael Faraday; energetics, Lord Kelvin; entomology, Henri Fabre; field theory, Michael Faraday; fluid mechanics, George Stokes; galactic astronomy, William Herschel; gas dynamics, Robert Boyle; genetics, Gregor Mendel; glacial geology, Louis Agassiz; hydrography, Matthew Maury; hydrostatics, Blaise Pascal; ichthyology, Louis Agassiz; isotopic chemistry, William Ramsay; model analysis, Lord Rayleigh; natural history, John Ray; non-Euclidean geometry, Bernard Riemann; oceanography, Matthew Maury; optical mineralogy, David Brewster, and on 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 it goes. Creationists are not scientists. Again, creationists invented science. Therefore, to say that creationists are not scientists, or creationism is not science, is false. Creationism violates none of the laws of science, as evolution does, but is in complete harmony with them. So we see that this attempt to suppress all of the scientific evidence for creationism, scientific creationism, is a form of censorship, and is exceedingly ironic that the ACLU and People for the American Way and others like that, who cry constantly against censorship, would be in the forefront of this attempt to censor out this information. Keep in mind that creationists are not trying to get rid of evolution. They're trying to have a balanced statement, even as Darwin said there must be, if there would be fairness in the approach to it. This, of course, amounts to nothing more than brainwashing. When all of the evidence on one side is presented and all the evidence on the other side is repressed, this is not education, it is brainwashing. Scientific pedagogical studies have shown that students learn better under testing. It has been shown they learn better when both models are presented, the evidence for each side is given, and they are enabled to make up their own mind. And finally, may I say that at its base, what it amounts to is anti-Christian bigotry. I'll call again to mind the words of Clarence Darrow, who said it is the height of bigotry to teach only one view of origins. And furthermore, when you read the statements of leading evolutionists, you see, as has been documented in a number of books and writings on the subject, that these men, most all of the leading evolutionists, were motivated by a tremendous antipathy and hostility toward the Christian message, toward God, toward the Bible. There has been a tremendous renaissance and revival of the teaching of creationism. Simultaneous to that, there has been a collapse of many of the basic pillars upon which evolution has stood. Attacks which are
multiplying, made not merely by creationists, but by evolutionists themselves. And more of the basic pillars of evolution are crumbling. At the same time, the evolutionists, it seems, in a panic, are shouting louder than ever before, just at the time when evolution is in total disorder, disarray, and chaos. They're screaming at the top of their lungs, evolution is a fact, and it doesn't need even to be established by evidence any longer. Reminds me of the note on the margin of the preacher's sermon, which says, pound pulpit here, argument weak. Haven't you heard it said in the last several years? Evolution is a fact, incontrovertibly proved beyond question. Well, we've also seen that the great majority of American people are not satisfied with it. The evolutionists like to say that it's a small group of fanatical zealots that are opposed to evolution. The truth is, my friend, as a recent national poll showed, that only 9% of the American people want evolution only taught in the schools, public schools. Only 9%. 86% want both evolution and scientific creationism taught in a balanced way. But of course, evolutionists, absolutely a conniption at the very thought of that, and they think that this is terrible thing. One writer said, he said, a fair result could be obtained only by fully stating and balancing the facts on both sides of each question. That is the only way, he says, that we can have a fair result. By presenting the facts for evolution and the facts for creation and letting the people make up their minds. Well, obviously, that was some sort of fanatical Christian making that statement. No, as a matter of fact, that's found in the writings of Charles Darwin. But that has been conveniently forgotten in our time. There have been several laws which have been passed by several states. Arkansas passed a law requiring a fair and balanced treatment. That law was struck down by a court. Louisiana then passed a Balanced Treatment Act. That has now worked its way up until it has been accepted by the Supreme Court of the United States, which will, this November or December, hear that case and make a decision which will be as significant as Roe versus Wade was in the area of abortion and will determine what is going to happen for decades in this nation. And therefore, I think that every Christian needs to be enlightened, and we need to sincerely pray daily about this issue. It is going to be much more difficult to try to have their decision overturned than to pray that God will enable them to make the right decision. Let's look at the matter. Judge Overton, when he threw out the law in Arkansas, did it on this basis. He said, evolution is scientific, creationism is religious. Therefore, religion cannot be taught in the schools, ergo, creationism must go. Very interesting. You remember the Scopes trial in 1925? At that time, the only thing that was allowed to be taught was creationism. And the evolutionists, led by Clarence Darrow, the atheist, and the ACLU, that's the Anti-Christian Liberty Union, they went to court to overthrow that law. And Darrow said, quote, "It is the height of bigotry to have only one theory of origins taught in our schools." Well, now isn't that interesting? The same ACLU is today doing its very best and sent their lawyers to Arkansas to keep only one theory of origins, now that it's evolution, taught in our schools. It seems like the bigotry is now on the other foot. But let's look at that and see how much truth there is to this statement, which is being repeated over and over and over again ad nauseam. Evolution is scientific, creationism is religious. Well, The fact of the matter is that neither evolution nor creationism fully meet the rigorous demands of science. The basic tenets of science are: it must be observable, testable, repeatable, and falsifiable. Now, the fact is, neither evolution nor creation is any of those. Therefore, it does not really fall into the realm of strict science. We can set up two models. We can look at all of the evidence and see whether it points to one or the other. We can see what predictions they make. And we can conclude which we believe is true. I have before mentioned the fact that Dr. Karl Popper, the greatest living philosopher of science in the world today, who has been described by a Nobel Prize winner as the greatest philosopher of science that ever lived, Dr. Karl Popper said, not only that evolution is not a fact, but it is not even a theory. Not only is it not a theory, it is not even a scientific hypothesis, because it cannot be falsified. Every scientific theory or hypothesis must be able to be proved wrong. It is not. There is no way that anybody has ever conceived of being able to prove evolution wrong. When they prove one part of it wrong, they simply change the theory to make it fit another part. It is, he said, at best, a metaphysical research program. Now, metaphysics is a lot closer to religion than it is to science, which is to say that evolution really isn't scientific. In fact, most of the evidence you'll find points away from the evolutionary model and it points to the creationist model. Furthermore, evolution, as many scientists have said, flies in the face of established scientific laws. So that increasingly, with increasing evidence, especially in the last 5 or 6 years, they've seen that the laws of science are being violated by evolution. It violates the first law of thermodynamics and the second law of thermodynamics. It violates the laws of probability. In fact, it violates so many laws of science that a few years ago, when a group of the world's leading mathematicians met with a group of the leading evolutionary biologists and were presenting to them the problems, the mathematical problems that were showing up concerning evolution, the probabilities against any aspect of evolution happening being virtually impossible, that they called for a great consultation at the Wistar Institute in Philadelphia. And there, 52 of the greatest evolutionary biologists and the greatest mathematicians in the world met, and with a digital computer, they began to examine the mathematical problems with evolution. They concluded that evolution was absolutely mathematically impossible. In fact, Dr. Murray Eden, one of the mathematicians from MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, said that so great were the problems that before we could have any viable theory of evolution, there would have to be the discovery and elucidation of entirely new natural laws, chemical, chemical-physical, and biological. Which is to say that evolution violates so many of the laws which science goes by that we're either going to have to throw out all of the known laws of science and accept evolution, or we're going to have to wait until we get a whole new set of natural laws, which is going to be, my friends, a different universe before evolution can be true. Furthermore, Dr. Colin Patterson, who is the senior paleontologist at the British Museum of History, which has the largest collection of fossils in the world. He is the author of the British Museum's magazine, Evolution, one of the most prestigious scientists and evolutionists in the world. He woke up about 2 years ago and suddenly realized that after spending his whole life, there was not one single thing he knew about evolution. He asked a group of scientists at the Field Museum if they could name one thing they knew for sure about evolution. Silence. Finally, one of them raised his hand and said, "Doctor, one thing I know for sure. We ought not to teach it in high school. Now, we teach it all the way down to the first grade." And he said that evolution is a void. It is an anti-theory that not only produces no knowledge, it produces positive anti-knowledge. This is the senior paleontologist and curator of the British Museum of Natural History. You won't read that quote in your high school textbook, young people. Let me tell you that. So that evolution is increasingly being recognized as violating basic tenets of science. Is it? We're told that it's scientific and not religious. Is that true? Is evolution religious? Well, may I say to you this? I believe that evolution is not only religious, it's more religious than creation. Now, that may startle some people. What do I base that on? One, more religions in this world are based upon evolution than are on creation, including Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, Confucianism, Unitarianism, Scientology, Science of Mind. Liberal Christianity was born with the publication of Darwin's Origin of Species. Neo-Orthodoxy, rampant in virtually every mainline Protestant seminary in America. Much of Roman Catholicism, especially the followers of Teilhard de Chardin, where in many of the Catholic parochial schools, evolution is taught. These and many, many more show that vast numbers of religions are based upon evolution, including the religion of secular humanism, which declares itself to be a religion and has been declared by the Supreme Court to be a religion. It is founded upon evolution. Therefore, to say that evolution is not religious is utterly inconceivable. It is incredible that any intelligent person can make such a statement as that. Furthermore, evolution is not only the basis of numerous religions, it itself is based upon faith. Numerous statements, hundreds of statements by evolutionary scientists could be called forth to indicate that. The head of the Department of Anatomy at Western Australia University said that evolution is a time-honored tenet of faith. We read that Kirkett, one of the leading evolutionary writers today, said that evolution is therefore a matter of faith on the part of biologists that biogenesis did occur, that cells came into existence. It's based upon faith, and it's the same kind of faith that is had in religion. Dr. Arthur Field pointed out that evolution is based upon belief in the reality of the unseen, belief in fossils that cannot be produced, in embryological evidence that does not exist, and belief in breeding experiments that refuse to come off. Furthermore, we know that Dr. John Howitt of London said that evolution is based and accepted on faith alone, for three-quarters of the record is non-existent, and there are gaps which are systematic that cannot be covered. It's interesting also that in the 100th anniversary edition, Every Man's Library edition of Darwin's book, we find there that A. Harrison Matthews, a leading scientist and evolutionist, said belief in the theory of evolution is thus exactly parallel to belief in special creation. It is a faith, and therefore again, for the judge to say that evolution is scientific and not religious reveals an abysmal lack of knowledge of the fact. We might even go further and say that I could produce numbers of statements from scientists who actually declare that evolution is their god. Not even a tenet of their religion, the pillar of their religion, but their god itself. May I quote you one? Charles Darwin referred to, quote, my deity, natural selection. And numbers of other scientists have said that evolution is virtually their god. So we see that evolution is not merely scientific, it is not even good science, and it is certainly prominent religion. Well, what about creationism? Well, let's make one thing very clear. You can teach either biblical creationism or you can teach scientific creationism, and they're quite different. Biblical creationism is certainly religious. It takes the first several chapters of Genesis and teaches that. It talks about God creating the heavens and the earth in 6 days, creating all that there is, and creating man and woman out of man and resting on the seventh day. It talks about the great deluge of Noah and all of these other things that are in the Bible.
Now, that is precisely what the scientific creationists do not want taught in our schools. What they want taught is scientific creationism, which never mentions Genesis, which never mentions the Bible, which doesn't even mention God. Though, of course, there is nothing basically wrong with mentioning God or a creator in school. If there were, it would be unconstitutional to read the Declaration of Independence, which says that we have been endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. It has a number of other references to God and to the Creator. And the Supreme Court has said that there is nothing unconstitutional with mentioning God in our schools. But scientific creationism deals not with the Genesis or the Bible, but it deals with things like biology and cytology, the origin of the cell, and anthropology, and chemistry, and physics. And it deals with embryology and with astrophysics and all sorts of subjects like this, which are not found in the Bible at all. It is a matter of dealing with merely scientific evidence that points to one of the two models. Did life arise, as evolutionists say, gradually? Or did it arise abruptly? Well, if you look at the fossil record, you'll see that there's a record of abrupt rise. Every single phyla of invertebrate fossils are found in the oldest rocks, the Cambrian rocks. They suddenly appear. As one writer I just mentioned said, 75% of the record is gone from the very beginning. Evolution is already 75% completed before we find the first fossil. And here we have all of these extraordinarily complex fossils found in the very earliest rock. Are all of these things interconnected by a singular continuum, as Darwin said, or are they discrete? Are they separate? Is each kind of life separate from the other kind? Or are there intermediate links? Well, in the last few years, notable scientists like Stephen Jay Gould of Harvard, Niles Eldredge of the American Museum of Natural History, and others have said it's long been a trade secret of paleontology that there are no intermediate links. Now the time has come to tell the public. There are no intermediate links. I have in my library copies of letters to the leading museums in the world, the British Museum, the American Museum, the Field Museum, the Peabody Museum, where the curators say if they had one intermediate link in their museum, they would be happy to show it, but they do not. And yet some scientist has the gall to say that 100 million fossils at our museums conclusively prove that evolution is a fact. The truth is that 100 million fossils in our museums without one single intermediate link conclusively prove that evolution is a lie. It is science, falsely so called, as Paul said, which some, having believed, have erred from the faith. So we see that creationism is indeed scientific. We had a debate here a year and a half or 2 years ago, and the evolutionist scientists made the incredible claim, not only that creationism wasn't scientific, but he went on to say that creationists, therefore, were not scientists. Can you imagine the unmitigated gall of any person making a statement like that? My friends, the truth is that creationists gave the world science. Creationists invented science. Without creationists, there wouldn't be any science. And for that man to stand right up here on this platform and say that creationists weren't scientists is utterly astounding. Perhaps I should back up that statement a little bit. Let me read you the names of some of, these are not merely outstanding scientists. These are the men who founded the following branches of science. Antiseptic surgery, Joseph Lister. Bacteriology, Louis Pasteur. Calculus, Isaac Newton. Celestial mechanics, Johann Kepler. Chemistry, Robert Boyle. Comparative anatomy, Georges Cuvier. Computer science, Charles Babbage. All of these men were believers in the Bible and believers in creation. Dimensional analysis, Lord Rayleigh. Dynamics, Isaac Newton. Electronics, John Ambrose Fleming. Electrodynamics, James Clerk Maxwell. Electromagnetics, Michael Faraday. Energetics, Lord Kelvin. Entomology, Henri Fabre. Field theory, Michael Faraday. Fluid mechanics, George Stokes. Galactic astronomy, William Herschel. Gas dynamics, Robert Boyle. Genetics, Gregor Mendel. Glacial geology, Louis Agassiz. Hydrography, Matthew Maury. Hydrostatics, Blaise Pascal. Ichthyology, Louis Agassiz. Isotopic chemistry, William Ramsay. Model analysis, Lord Rayleigh. Natural history, John Ray. Non-Euclidean geometry, Bernard Riemann. Oceanography, Matthew Maury. Optical mineralogy, David Brewster. And on 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 it goes. Creationists are not scientists. Again, creationists invented science. My friends, what is involved in this great and titanic struggle has enormous implications for our lives. Once you lose the Creator, you of course have lost all religion, all spiritual values. In addition to that, notice this. Life has lost its purpose and meaning. There's one thing which evolutionists agree in opposing, and that is teleology. The idea that life has a purpose or an end or a meaning to it. Life has no meaning. It's just simply haphazard chance. What appears to be purpose is only chance, an accident, they say. Life is a cosmic accident. Life has no purpose and therefore no meaning. That is lost. Furthermore, life has no values. And there's no basis for any moral standards. There are no moral absolutes. And furthermore, keep in mind what our Declaration of Independence says, that God has created us equally, and that our Creator has endowed us with inalienable rights. Without a Creator, there are no inalienable rights. We have only those rights which are bestowed by the state. And the state which bestows them with one hand can withdraw them with the other, as every tyrannical state down through history has demonstrated. My friends, there is a great, great deal involved in this struggle. Christians need to become informed, and Christians need to pray about this. It is this defense that millions of Americans are hiding behind. And my friends, may I say to you, as a director of research, one of the greatest research institutes in France said, evolution is a fairy tale for grown-ups. And it is a defense that will not hold up. There is a God who has created you. A God before whom one day you must stand and give answer for your life. You cannot evade or avoid that. You will come before Him with whom we each and all have to do. There is a God who has loved us enough to send His Son to die for our sins. You can do what Huxley did and what Darwin did. You can reject the offer of salvation which is offered to you in the Scriptures. But I assure you that one day you will stand before the great judge of heaven and earth and give an account of that.
Lord, you know I need a brand new touch. My strength from yesterday is gone. If you'll give me, Lord, another touch, I'll have the strength to carry on.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.
I'd like to hear from you. You can write to me at Jim Rome, Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110. Once again, our mailing address is Post Office Box 234, Duquesne, Pennsylvania, 15110. That's all for today. God bless.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force.